Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
And welcome to the ATS Mix special pre-Easter show. I'm Johnny Anonymous.
And I'm his partner, Dave Rabbit.
And since Easter is right around the corner, do you have anything specially planned?
Yes, I've got me a rabbit outfit from Rabbit Outfits R Us, and I'm going to be dropping around little chocolate Easter eggs from the buttocks area for some little kids around the neighborhood, you know.
On this episode, we've got UFO sightings from all around the world.
And we've got another mystery guest that's going to hop up on the soapbox that Stanton Freeman launched for us last week.
Yes, indeed. And the Skeptic Overlord will stop by and tell us about some of the more popular threads being responded to.
But he's not going to answer any questions, right, John?
Yeah, the member questions will come in the after special episode next week.
And then we're going to get on the Trail Dust train and go up to the Springinator up in Indian Territory and talk about the thread that he's really hot under the collar about this week.
And then part of the reason why this episode is so special, we are finally releasing part one of the Timothy Good interview.
And what an interview it is. And, of course, then we wrap things up with our all-time favorite segment, The Rabbit's Rant.
I can't understand why that would be one of our favorite segments.
I love that guy.
And I bet he loves you right back.
He does.
All right, let's kick things off and get started with some UFO sightings from all around the world.
Yeah, right on.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From AboveTopSecret.com.
Oh, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
Reporting sightings from around Europe, this is Sam Willey of AlienationSound.com and UFO-radio.net. This week, a green light over France and a tubular-shaped craft spotted over Stockport, England. This week, we begin in Grenoble, France. At 11:39pm local time on March 1st, 2008, an engineer who was travelling with his family in his car at the time saw what was described as a big object with green flames falling at an incredible speed from the sky, crashing into the valley of the city. This crash caused a big explosion which illuminated the sky of the city in a green colour. It is not known if anybody else saw the lights, and HBCC UFO Research, who received the report, is asking for any other witnesses to the event to come forward. To Stockport, England now, and on Sunday, March 2nd, 2008, at 9:30pm, a man and his fiancée noticed a very bright orange light which seemed to be shining through the blinds of his home. The man got up and looked out of his blinds. His fiancée also looked and saw what appeared to be a tubular-shaped object above the rooftops. At the front of this object was a very bright orange light, with definite smoke coming out of the top. To the right of this orange light were three smaller white lights. After up to 4 minutes of hovering, the object then proceeded to move in a straight line to the left, and the three white lights went out. As it moved slowly to the left, it suddenly picked up speed and moved out of sight at an extreme speed. The sighting was reported to UFO Info, and an explanation has yet to be found for the bizarre event. This is Sam Willey reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
From Canada, this is Barb Campbell of SPPRC.com. In the province of Saskatchewan, on March 11th, approximately 7:40pm, Steve and Tammy were driving along Highway No. 5 and were approximately 5 kilometers west on the outskirts of Wadena when the vehicle ahead of them slammed on its brakes, causing them to immediately slam on their brakes to avoid a collision. They were 100 meters behind the other car. That's when the couple saw a grayish-white object the size of a Volkswagen Bug streak across the road from south to north directly in front of the vehicle ahead of them at about hood height, 3 to 4 feet above the ground. There was nothing but open field on either side of the highway and no dirt road. The object had no headlights or lights of any kind, doors or wheels, and no sound could be heard. Within approximately 3 seconds, it was gone. Steve and Tammy both say they could see the force behind the object as it moved, and both believe the object was not man-made. Once the object disappeared, the vehicle ahead just drove away. Steve and Tammy wanted to speak to the driver, but they were unable to catch up to the vehicle. As soon as they reached their home, they contacted the Wadena RCMP. I spoke with Constable Forget at the Wadena RCMP detachment. He was the officer on the scene and says he found no tracks or anything unusual. When I filled him in on all the details Steve and Tammy gave, he was rather surprised. He was unaware of all the details. In fact, he had so little, he never filed a report. After speaking with his detachment commander, Constable Forget said a report would be filed. In fact, the matter is being taken rather seriously. The RCMP are also interested with the rash of sightings this province has been reporting recently. UFOs are nothing new to the RCMP in this province. One case that quickly comes to mind occurred in Bilquehares on November 1973. Three RCMP officers and 15 civilian EMO members gave chase to a 45-meter red and orange fast-moving mushroom-shaped UFO, which flew over a truck and melted its electrical system and then burned down a house as it flew over the building. This remains one of the most mysterious cases ever filed with the National Research Council. Barb Campbell reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
Here are the latest U.S. UFO sightings for AboveTopSecret.com. This is David C. In Silicon Valley, California, a red light appeared and came back a few moments later, but this time it brought a number of companions. Dozens of beautiful glowing orbs danced around each other in an organic and fluid pattern before drifting off just as quickly as they had come. A few moments after that, what seemed like a shooting star came down from the sky. It was very audible and brief. It was more of a quick energy burst that fizzled out right above the viewer. Also in California, near Point Lomas, three disc-like glowing objects with a yellowish glow were seen floating in position with no noise for about a minute. Then the one on the far right just disappeared, almost appearing to evaporate. Within seconds, the other two did the same thing. This event was witnessed by about 10 people. In Iowa, a V-formation object was sighted on the Nebraska side of the Missouri River flying to the west at what seemed to be a very low velocity and altitude. The object had flashing lights on it, similar to an aircraft, but there was also a row of lights in a V-formation that seemed to strobe or flash in a distinct pattern. In Iowa, a small unknown object about the size of a softball or cabbage was sighted. A glowing bright yellow object came through the northwest corner of a backyard. Slowly and silently flying through the yard at a diagonal, the object turned west at the corner of the viewer's house and flew off. The viewers reported that it was definitely not a meteor. It flew too low to the ground and the light blinked with a strobe, slowly and methodically, not erratically. This is David C., reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
This is Victor Camacho from Desvelado.com with this week's sighting report from Latin America. This week we have received the report that Army forces from Ecuador has declassified the files about sighting reports and eyewitness testimonies. Jaime Rodriguez, one of the main UFO researchers in this country, has accomplished to talk to the Ecuadorian President Rafael Correa. After that, President Correa ordered to the Army Forces and the Ministry of Defense to open all the information about UFO's investigation. You can search at youtube.com under Desclasificación OVNI Ecuador to watch the first of the 44 videos that he will post there every week. We will be working very close with Jaime Rodriguez and his team to let know to all the UFO community about all this information. Reporting for AboveTopSecret.com, this is Victor Camacho.
We've got ourselves some prominent folks from all around the world. They can say whatever they want from the soapbox.
Okay, John, let's see who's going to be up on the soapbox this time. Spin that wheel.
All right, here we go.
From the soapbox, it's, excuse me. Could you introduce yourself, please?
From the soapbox, this is John Hoag. The word demagogue is defined as a leader who obtains power by means of impassioned appeals to the emotions and prejudices of the people. We have two significant leaders, one thankfully extinguished by history, and one of audacious hope on the rise. Both share one skill, otherwise they are poles apart. Both have that rare gift of demagoguery that literally could hypnotize a nation to be inspired to surrender national reason to collective emotions. They were both men unsurpassed in their primal power of oratory. They both knew that a nation could be won by the power of the eloquently spoken word. Those two, who were not actually that physically attractive, at least in my opinion, were possessed by this force of oratory that had an almost psychosexual appeal. These rock star messengers of change could become redemptive revolution personified, proclaiming a new awakening in Germany, a new era of change for America. I know this mass hypnosis game of politicians. It doesn't sway me. It's tempting, though. I would like to, but I can't disappear into the crowd that feels that wonderful, intoxicating euphoria that only the act of surrendering your individual intelligence can conjure. Ah, that sweet voodoo urge to herd into the happiness of belonging to the great movement. What a bewitching relief at last. I am no longer alone with my responsibility to think and question as my sole companion. Love is blind in the scream of Beatles bliss. Too bad for me that awareness has worked under my skin, and I have become a watcher of the heart's happy hysterias. I look at the starry-eyed crowds around me. They're not hearing what I'm hearing from the orator. They are feeling the speech, just like people did back in mass rallies of that other master demagogue of the 1930s. In some cases, these men said little to nothing of substance. Indeed, the relentless list of flowery promises gobbled up by the transfixed crowds reached the level of the absurd. But hey, no matter. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Hail victory. Barack Obama may be remembered as history's next great demagogue. It remains to be seen if he can lead the United States as its president and really fulfill his vast list of high pie-in-the-sky promises whenever his oratory love fest takes him into the paradise of the irrational. Crowds can be manipulated easily. Not so those holding power from whom you threaten with your emotionally charged calls for change. It must be remembered, despite the emotional temptations of our new times to hope and forget, that the past great Obamagogue became Chancellor of Germany only after the CEOs and media of his day chose him to be their spokesman in power. They did not anticipate he would take that power away from them. Maybe today's Obamagogue, once he is in power, will surprise everyone and effectively use his powers of mass appeal to raise a rebellion of the American people against the tyranny of special interests. I certainly hope so. Mine is an audacious hope, perfectly tailored for these new times of ascendant subjectivity, when reason and substance takes a backseat to rational passion. So I hope, if you found that interesting, I hope you'd like to come visit my website, where you'll hear me rant about other things, about the future and politics and future trends, at hogueprophecy.com. That's hogueprophecy.com. There you can also sample some pages of my new digital book, Predictions for 2008. This is John Hogue, stepping off the soapbox.
We'll be back with more ATS Mix right after this brief message.
Dave Rabbit here again with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. If you love politics and are tired of hearing and reading all that robotic crap that keeps churning out from the mainstream media, then come join me and thousands of people from around the world at AbovePolitics.com. They have political forums for everyone's taste, including U.S. politics, United Kingdom politics, Canadian politics, head-to-head political debates, politics of war. They have a general chit-chat and a freshman forum for you newbies and rookies to the political arena. There's also forums about Mideast conflict, socialism. They have a slugfest, liberalism, conservatism, moderate, and my personal favorite, military and security issues. So if you don't want to be another sheep and want to be a unique thinker, AbovePolitics.com is for you. Part of the Above Network, LLC. Deny apathy. AbovePolitics.com.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
And once again, we're back, and we want to welcome you all to what we call the Skeptic Overview. And, of course, that means that we have the Skeptic Overlord with us, Bill Irvin. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys? You know, you're each week, you're cutting back my time a little bit more and a little bit more.
That was my popular demand from the members.
Oh, is that what it is?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they figure you're not answering their questions enough, you know.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Actually, a few of them want to put you on the rack, Bill.
You gave that cliffhanger last week, you know.
What was the cliffhanger? Oh, you know what? And you didn't do
your homework either, I bet,
no,
did you?
Because, you know, I had to travel to New York. We had to get ready for that meeting and meeting about ATS with an agency in New York to possibly do some advertising. So it was ended up being a much busier week than I had any right to promise to do anything else other than that for.
Okay, so we'll let you go on that one. What do you got for this show?
Well, we have a number of threads. What I'm going to do is just cover two in semi-in-depth and just run down sort of the list of the popular ones. Over the past week, the most popular thread from a reply standpoint, and I'm sure you guys have seen this, and if our listeners have, they're going to groan when I read the title, U.S. Soldier Kills 10-Year-old Iraqi Girl. But, you know, a lot of good discourse back and forth in that thread. It got ugly. You know, for some good reasons, it didn't need to get as ugly as it did, but it's definitely still well worth the read. Second most popular, There Are No Aliens Visiting the Earth by Breadfan. 305 replies. And another, someone had seen a UFO seen during Endeavor Live TV broadcast by Cool J-Man, which ended up being, well, maybe not so much the case, just a sped-up helicopter. One that caught my attention, though, posted by Jay Thomas, The State of 9/11 Truth, Not Pretty. And he makes some pretty good points. He covers what happened over in Europe. A member of the European Parliament, Giulietto, I'm not going to try to pronounce the last name, organized a 9/11 Truth event in late February with speakers and a few people, an author promoting a new book on 9/11. And they invited 1,000 journalists to attend. And it was really interesting because coverage of the event showed nobody.
Nobody?
Nobody came. Come on. That's pathetic. Yes,
it is pathetic. That's really pathetic.
They really promoted it and nobody showed up. And really, it does indicate that 9/11 Truth or the Truthers or the Truth Movement or whatever you want to call it really is losing some traction. For a number of reasons, and the thread gets into a great discussion about pretty much every single reason you can think of as to why traction is being lost. 230 replies at this point, and it goes back and forth between some legitimate concerns about the way the truth movement and the leaders of the truth movement are behaving, and what they're saying is the truth can actually be shown not to be true, and there's a real problem there. But on the other side, you know, some really good evidence that we're not getting the complete and detailed story that we should be getting from the government, from taxpayer-funded investigations run by the government. So there's a pretty broad spectrum of discussion there that's fantastic. Moving on along, the massacre in Tibet has spawned a pretty big thread, 223 replies. Just as the Olympics are coming in China, the protests in Tibet are getting a lot of news, and depending on where you look, there's 100 deaths, there's 20 deaths, there's no deaths, and so it's really interesting. Governor Spitzer.
I love that guy.
Is linked to a prostitute.
Hey, wouldn't you like to have his credit line?
Oh, let me tell you.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, it's just amazing that, this guy that set himself up to be squeaky clean is transporting a hooker across state lines, a federal crime.
Who knew?
You know?
I just have one minor insertion here. No, I mean, I don't know why Dave sees things that other people may not, but here's my viewpoint on this thing. If you're going to run for any political office in the future, folks, you better check your closet.
That's right.
Because if you think you're not under immense scrutiny, you're obviously not on the same page that everybody else in the world is. I can't understand how people can be so stupid, Bill. It just drives me crazy.
Well, you know what cracked me up? What cracked me up was your choice of words there. We're talking about the prostitute, and you said you have only one insertion here. That's what I was cracking up over.
Well, I love that. Well, see, there you go. See, Dave puts these little things in. He doesn't really realize how clever he really is at times.
Well, he can't last any longer than one anyway. So,
hey, don't go there. Ooh.
Okay, moving right along. A great thread from Mike Singh, which was actually featured in one of our email newsletters, was this a message from extraterrestrials? And what he does is he covers what appears to be, yes, a response to the message sent out on the Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico back in 1974. Really interesting thread, and his analysis of the potential response is riveting, to say the least.
Wow.
Another thread that caught my attention in a little bit more detail, because we have talked about this on the show a couple times, posted by Black Fox, tent cities have sprung up outside Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And this topic actually has spawned two other previous threads, and this is a bit more of an update. And it's a BBC report covering homeless people who used to be homeowners, now living in mobile homes and tents in the outskirts of Los Angeles because their homes have been foreclosed upon. And, you know, they're not able to get any other habitat other than a tent
right.
in the field. And it's a really interesting report. It's really not that long, and he posted the YouTube video. And there's a lot of, you know, discussion in the thread about the reasons and the rationale for this. Some people not feeling sorry for the people living in tents because, you know, they borrowed beyond their means. But I just want to read a piece of a post from member RCWJ75. He has a great response on the first page. Real estate in the U.S. is a scam and has been a scam for a long time. This is nothing new. What is new is the greed and society expectations we put on ourselves. We are so concerned about the size, color, and decor of our homes, we can't stop and think, can I actually afford this? We want to impress others. We want to be looked at as important or use it as status. We prove it through the cars we drive and the homes we buy every day. And he goes on to really discuss that general idea. And sure, there's a lot to blame in this mortgage bubble, if you will, about how the government encouraged lenders to just give crazy loans and reduce the discount rate for those loans. You know, the mortgage providers and their agents just, you know, deceiving people outright on these loans. But then again, you know, we talked about it in Johnny's infamous line, I can't afford the peanut butter anymore.
That's right. I'm driving a Yugo.
That's yeah. right.
Do you remember the Yugo?
I love the Yugo.
Wasn't it three cylinders?
Yeah, We go now.
Yeah,
what did Yugoslavia? What did Yugo for
so.
Yugoslavia?
I think so.
Yeah,
Romanian.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of the Yugo, it reminded me when I was in New York, I saw one of those tiny smart cars driving in the city.
Right.
Oh, those ones where it's like a three wheeler. Is it? Is that the one?
No,
you're talking about?
There's four small wheels, but it's like it's like a third of a car.
Right.
It looks scary to be in that in New York.
Well, not only being in it, but being hit by it by a New York taxi cab. I mean, my lord!
I wouldn't mind being hit by that if I'm crossing the street because it just didn't.
Yeah, just land up on top and just have them take you to your destination.
Like getting hit by a shopping cart.
A shopping cart.
Anyway,
a skeptic cart.
A skeptic cart. Yeah. So those are the threads that were hot this week from a title standpoint, and two that caught my attention based on some of the things we've been discussing on the show here and what's popular for our members.
Wow. Well, you know, I think there's a pretty good foray of topics that you covered, Bill. We want to remind everybody that next Sunday is Easter, and we're going to be doing a special Skeptic Overview show. And the Skepmeister is going to answer questions for the entire allotted time that he has from the Ask Skeptic Overlord, which you can go to the information area at the ATS Mix area and see and post your questions. And you can see the ones that he's already asked. And we would please ask you to look through the questions previously asked before posting a new question. So anything going on in the site, Bill, you want to drop in real quick? You've been
we broke through a new barrier this week. We have more than 4 million posts.
Wow.
That's an accomplishment.
Wow.
And so that's just crazy that we just keep growing like mad like that. So 4 million is a neat new number. And we also launched some new RSS syndication feeds early this week, different ways to subscribe to the content and stay up to date with what's happening on the site, even without coming to the site. So that as well.
Boy, that's just really terrific. All right, Bill, we'll see you next week for the special show of this Ask the Skeptic Overlord. The whole show, folks, those of you that have been bitching about he's not answering enough of your questions, next week is going to be it. All right, we'll see you next time, Bill.
Okay.
We'll be back with more ATS Mix right after this brief message.
This is Agent X. You may know me as a secret informant for Dave and Johnny's ATS Mix show. What a lot of you may not know is that I chose their show because AboveTopSecret.com is the only website out there that covers all the subjects that I love, whether it's a conspiracy about 9/11 or the secret United Nations meetings with extraterrestrials. I know I'm going to get the need-to-know updated information that I crave. I'd tell you more, but then I'd have to kill you. X out.
Now, from the very top of AboveTopSecret.com, it's time to catch up with Springer, a.k.a. Mark Allen. This is Springer Sprung.
This segment is being brought to you by Maker's Mark, the drink of champions. When is the best time to enjoy a drink? Well, according to Springer, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere in the world.
And once again, we thank you for staying with us on the ATS Mix. We have with us now the Springinator. Hi, how are you doing, Mark?
How's it going, guys?
Doing good, brother. What's happening?
Oh, man, just, you know, another week of trying to build the biggest and most honorable and ethical media empire the world has ever seen. But other than that, not much.
And how's that going for you?
Yeah.
We are progressing well. I'll leave it at that.
I was just going to say, it's got to be a bitch trying to work on world domination.
You know, it just depends on if you surround yourself with the smart people or the dumb people. If you're surrounded by smart people, it's not that bad.
And, you know, it's kind of like when you were in high school and you wanted to, you know, if you thought you were studly, you wanted to hang around with the two best friends that, you know, really nobody would want, you know, tigers wouldn't eat them. They were so ugly. You know?
You thought like a girl.
No, the guys do the same thing. If you think they don't,
well, wow.
You and I are homeboys. Don't even go there with me. You know darn well back in our day that's exactly how we did it. You know, I didn't hang with handsomer guys than me. Are you kidding? No way, babe.
You see, I couldn't, so.
Yeah. You couldn't what? Hang with better guys that were looking at you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you were going to gay bars. I'm just teasing.
Hey, am I going to have to insert
right
a disclaimer?
Yeah. Here, put up the gaydar disclaimer, will you, John?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I know you got a great show for this show, so tell us about what you got.
Well, we had a really cool, and I know you'll never believe this, but a post in the Aliens and UFOs forum. Not like I ever want to talk about that stuff, but this week we're going to.
Okay, good.
UFOs over the Pentagon, 1949. This thread was posted by one of our members, Fremen Blue Eyes, and she picked it up off the Coast to Coast AM website of a slide that appears to have been taken, well, it was taken, according to the guy's story, in 1949 over the Pentagon. And in this image, this picture, that certainly appears to be a slide, there's four anomalous objects over the Pentagon in a really pretty Washington, D.C., puffy white, cloudy sky, sunny, bright day. The interesting parts about this that immediately caught my attention is, assuming it is genuinely a slide, those are really hard to tamper with without it being pretty obvious.
Right.
Assuming it was taken in 1949, that's even better because, you know, if you were to tamper with that slide as far as artistically painting something on the slide itself physically, it's really going to show.
Right.
You know? I mean, the slide's from 49. You know, and this is all assuming it is a slide. Well, the thread progressed, and as per usual on AboveTopSecret.com, the person who owns the slide appeared on the site and said, "Hey, I'm the guy with the slide." Instantly, we got in contact with our notorious and world-famous digital experts, Jeff Ritzman and David Biedney. And, well, we got in touch with Jeff Ritzman, and I assume David will get involved via Jeff. And Jeff, you know, jumped right up there and said, you know, I'm absolutely available, open to, and willing, you know, to analyze this slide, and here's my contact information. email me. We'll get together and figure out how you can get a copy of the slide to me. That is the beauty of AboveTopSecret.com as far as, you know, the realm of ufology goes.
Right.
This is the site that you can come to, and if you have an image or a picture or a video, and you're an honest agent, you know, you're not a hoaxer. If you're a hoaxer, you're screwed. But if you have a real piece of digital or photographic, whatever, image, video, what have you, you can get instant and free access to legitimate, world-class imaging experts who want nothing more than to be able to say, yes, this is real, but they, you know, they're not going to unless it is.
Right.
And there's just nowhere else in the world you can do that.
That's true.
And, John, I know that you had some commentary about this object.
I did? I mean, I did. I do. I will.
I did?
Before he goes into his commentary thing, when I did my interview with Shirley MacLaine, she, in one of the things that she said, and I remember this so clearly, I don't remember if this is the thing that y'all are talking about, but either 49 or 50, when there was sightings and documented, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that saw flying saucers over Washington, D.C. Now, is this the same thing that this slide's supposed to perpetuate or whatever?
No. I think what Shirley was talking about was the UFOs over the White House. And that's
what year was that, Mark?
I think that was 53, wasn't it?
Was it 53?
Yeah.
Okay. So this thing is saying in 49 they were over the Pentagon.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And another interesting part about this is that, you know, between 47 and 53 is 49, right? So, I mean, you had Roswell in 47. If this holds any water at all, you've got this in 49. You've got the White House in 53. I mean, it just steps right down the line. And Freedom of Information Act documents were flying, well, classified documents were just, you know, there's just hundreds of thousands of them for that era. So there's a lot of interesting stuff that happened back in the late 40s and 50s, you know.
And that's when the Hollywood actually started coming up with a lot of their UFO things.
Sure.
Earth versus the Flying Saucers is a perfect example, which is a movie that came out in the 50s that documented flying saucers actually going to Washington, you know, which I thought was pretty amazing.
Yep. And that era of Americana, you know, the comic books all had, you know, crazy looking little green men. I mean, that's kind of when society, and I'm not sure if it was out of fear of the unknown, so let's make fun of it and make it funny, or if it was truly, as some speculate, the beginning of Project Ridicule, where, you know, there's a grand manipulation pulled off by the mainstream media in alliance with or in cahoots with certain sects of the intelligence community to make all this stuff sound crazy and make anyone who talks about or speaks out about something that they saw that they didn't understand, you know, to guarantee them ridicule and to scoff at them so that no serious investigation takes place.
Right.
And there's a lot of tertiary evidence to prove that, and that's kind of a really crappy deal.
All right. Well,
John, why don't you wrap up with your thoughts on this thing, and then
I'll make them real brief then. My first thoughts was, well, I want to look at this because anything from a 1949 era slide would be, as you said, very difficult to hoax. After a little analysis of this, by the way, happened on supposedly July 4th during the celebration, my attention wasn't exactly drawn to necessarily the three UFOs that are supposedly in this slide, but to one of the two large lampposts that are located near the Pentagon. In fact, they are so large that they tower over the rest of the trees. They're very noticeable from aerial photographs, and they are extremely noticeable from a great distance as you are traveling up to the Pentagon itself. Well, in this slide, one of the lampposts, the one to the left, mysteriously just disappears at the very top. You don't see the lamp, the light itself. It seems to disappear. And so that kind of rose a question mark in my head as to why that might be. And so, like everybody else, I am very curious to see what Jeff Ritzman and David Bidney come up with, because I thought that was a puzzling effect while everything else was clear.
I looked at your crop and blow up of the image, and man, you're right. It looks exactly like the lamppost has been airbrushed out, and or the craft was, you know, raised up above where it should have been, you know, on top of the lamppost.
Right.
But I also looked at it, and it could have been they just airbrushed out the whole top, you know, eighth of the lamppost and didn't even have to move it. It's kind of hard to tell how tall that thing, you know, that motion up and down may not put the lamppost that much taller than it is in real life, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So it could be something as simple as, you know, they just airbrushed out the pole,
right,
and didn't, you know, cut and repaste the light and to make it appear as a UFO. Or the other possibility too is that it's nothing but compression artifacts because we're looking at a copy of a copy.
Right.
And, you know, that's the great part about having guys like you, guys like Jeff Ritzman, David Biedney, and several others around, is that I think ultimately we will come to a conclusion. If the guy sends a copy of the slide and it looks just like this, except it will not have that airbrush artifact, because that's either compression or that's airbrushing. Am I correct in that, Johnny?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, if the slide copy comes back and it looks the same, that's really mind-bending.
Yeah.
And I'm dying to see it.
Yeah, you know, me too.
I'm very excited for both of you. Well,
and we love that.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Springinator and the Honda Show. So we'll see you next week, there, Mark. I understand you got a rant coming up next week, so don't tell me about it. I don't like to have any advance notice, but
yeah,
he's got a rant coming. He's got a rant coming on next.
Even though I said that I don't necessarily want to talk about the stuff that really pisses me off.
I just can't wait. All right, we'll see you next week then, brother.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Thanks.
If you like what we discussed, you're going to love AboveTopSecret.com. I can tell you, AboveTopSecret.com's members and staff, they're top-notch. They're smart, current, articulate, and would you believe they're even polite? In fact, AboveTopSecret.com is world-renowned for its excellent management. And since they're one of the best boards on the Internet with thousands of posts every day, you know they're doing it right. They've also got a hilarious podcast called ATS Mix, hosted by legendary Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, that covers all the hottest AboveTopSecret.com topics and conspiracy rumors. AboveTopSecret.com has dozens of forums, from UFOs and aliens to conspiracies, paranormal, and much, much more. So much more that I don't have time to name them all. Take it from me, AboveTopSecret.com is worth your time, because with more than 3 million posts and more than 250,000 topics, the truth is in there. So stop by AboveTopSecret.com and tell them I sent you. You can thank me tomorrow.
The following is an ATS Mix exclusive interview.
These aren't the right wristbands. Yes, they are.
He was born in London. Timothy Good completed his formal education at the King's School, Canterbury. As a violinist, he gained a scholarship to the Royal Academy of Music, where he won prizes for solo, chamber, and orchestral playing. His professional career began in 1963 with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. In 1955, his passion for aviation and space led him to read a book by Major Donald Kehoe on UFO sightings. This was just the beginning of what now has led him to amass a wealth of evidence and information, including several thousand declassified intelligence documents. His status as one of the foremost UFO researchers in the world has allowed him to lecture worldwide for such institutions as the Royal Canadian Military Institute, the House of Lords All-Party UFO Study Group, and the Oxford and Cambridge Union Societies. And following the fall of the Soviet Empire, he became the very first UFO researcher from the West to be interviewed on Russian television. He's acted as a consultant for several U.S. Congress investigations and invited for discussions at both the Pentagon and the French Air Force headquarters. His accomplishments in music have allowed him the opportunity to record with such great musicians as Phil Collins, George Harrison, Depeche Mode, Elton John, Paul McCartney, Rod Stewart, and U2. As an author, he's written such bestsellers as Above Top Secret, The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up, Alien Liaison, The Ultimate Secret, Alien Base, Earth's Encounters with Extraterrestrials, and his latest book was just released this last October in 2007, and it is entitled Need to Know UFOs, the Military and Intelligence. In fact, we'd like to suggest to you to please visit his website, which is located at www.timothygood.co.uk, Timothy Good all being one word, and maybe pop that up, perhaps while you're listening to our interview with him. AboveTopSecret.com, myself and my missing partner, Dave Rabbit, are extremely honored to have with us today Mr. Timothy Good. Hello, Timothy. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fine. Thanks very much, Johnny.
A very impressive bio. You are a very busy man.
Usually. Yes, I am. I'm glad to say.
Yes. You know, we always like to try to get to know a little bit about our guests before we dive into our interview. So please, Timothy, tell us a little bit about what it was like recording with some of those musicians I mentioned, especially the Beatles. My God, that must have been just fantastic.
Well, yeah, it was, Johnny. I actually recorded on two or three occasions with Paul McCartney. I never played with the Beatles as a group,
right,
per se, but I did record a couple of albums with Paul McCartney. I did one album with George Harrison. I never did anything with Lennon or Ringo Starr.
Right.
But that's the sum of my involvement with the Beatles.
Sure.
But it was great fun, actually. I shan't forget the time we did an album called Press to Play with Paul McCartney back in the 70s. I think it was late 70s, up 80s. I've forgotten the exact date,
sure,
to be frank with you. But it was at his home down in Sussex, which was in a converted windmill. And Linda was alive then, and she was sort of involved in accompanying one or two instruments to the song. So,
was this when he was actually Paul McCartney in Wings?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And tell me about your experience with U2.
Well, I've done a couple of things. I'm damned if I can remember the titles. I could look it up. I've got a record of everything I've been on, but I can't remember the titles, except for the last thing I did was a television recording, which was presented to Frank Sinatra as his 80th birthday present.
Wow.
And that was quite fun, I must say.
I bet. All right, my friend, let's move into this interview. You know, as I said, a very impressive bio. You're obviously a very busy person. Where does a researcher start out? What is the first place that you went to really get into some serious research? Were you diving into documents from government institutions?
Oh, there weren't any available in 1963, for example, when I did that first tour of the States.
Right.
And while I remember it, you should know that I must have spent close to 4 years altogether in the States, all told, with tours and research trips and so on. So what is essential is getting to know the witness, and that can sometimes be extremely difficult. You need to get to know them and their friends. You need to check out certain details, and some people, you know, you've heard of pathological liars, I'm sure.
Sure.
People who... The telling of the story becomes so convincing to not just to others, but to themselves, to people who are often making up stories. So they come to believe their stories, you know, and it's very, very difficult to get through sometimes to pathological liars, to get through to the truth. With military cases, of course, it's that much harder. You know, you have to wait till a lot of these military guys retire. Even then, they are under sworn testimony, you know, not to reveal sensitive information.
Right.
A lot of people go to their graves withholding sensitive information, particularly about the UFO subject, which just happens to be the most highly classified subject in the United States government and
right,
in a number of other countries. So it's understandable that it's difficult getting these people to crack.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point there, and I recall hearing somewhere, and I wish I could remember where and who it was that said this, but they said that sometimes in order to keep something secret, one needs to surround the truth with a tissue of lies, and that's always stuck in the back
that's
of my mind.
Winston Churchill.
Was it? Really?
I think it was either after World War II or during, he said, the truth is so precious that she must be surrounded by a bodyguard of lies.
Well, since we're on the subject of disinformation and whatnot, in I believe it was in your book, Alien Liaison, you mentioned a number of acts of illustrating disinformation, which I also believe include cattle mutilations, the Majestic 12 documents, and even Robert Lazar. What is it about these that, that makes you think that they're all part of a disinformation act?
Well, you know, it's not as simple as
right.
disinformation in a way. I mean, MJ-12, and as you may know, I was the first to publish the documents in my first book, Above Top Secret, 1987. It wasn't long, maybe a year or so, and I began to realize that the actual documents had probably been fabricated, but that there were essential truths contained in the document. And what I'm now convinced, because some of the information has turned out to be accurate, is that the people that fabricated that document knew quite a lot, had access to quite a lot of information, and they put the document together with the idea of smoking out some of the original MJ-12 members or staff or whatever. And it worked, because there was at least one guy, a British doctor, I've forgotten his name, I'll think of his name in a moment, but he was a British physicist, Dr. Eric Walker, who I think he'd been dean of Pennsylvania University. And he was a physicist, and in a recorded conversation with the Californian researcher Bill Steinman, he confirmed that he had been involved in Majestic 12. He confirmed the existence of MJ-12 and that it was related to the recovery of certain materials. That was one example, because when these documents came out, people thought, oh gosh, well, it's all right to talk about it now, you know, they must have so a few people for a short while did start talking, and Leonard Stringfield and a few other researchers got a confirmation from other sources that there was indeed an MJ-12. I was in correspondence with a former director of the CIA for quite a long while, and he was quite accommodating, but he would never ever answer anything about MJ or Magic or Majestic 12, which I think probably is quite telling. He never said, well, that's rubbish, I've never heard of such a thing. He just did not acknowledge any of my questions about it.
And cattle mutilations and Bob Lazar?
Well, two different subjects there. So, cattle mutilations are a reality.
Right.
I have been told by one of my sources that it's being done by the military, but I don't buy it. I think that's disinformation. I think actually aliens are responsible for the cattle mutilations. And there's no way. If you think that the cattle mutilation started, according to Lieutenant Colonel Philip Corso, started in 1957. There's no way anybody in the military had the kind of technology to excise with such immaculate precision and to exsanguinate, to drain of blood bodies of, you know, fully grown cows and so on and so forth. And there's just something about all that. I have actually examined at close quarters some of the animal mutilations. I've made investigations in New Mexico and Puerto Rico in particular, and it's my conclusion this is definitely done by a strange creature or creatures and beings. Sometimes just the creature itself, the so-called chupacabras or goat sucker, has definitely been responsible by itself without any kind of technology for let's say killing about 15 ducks at a go and exsanguinating them. And taking, you know, with the same kind of puncture in the neck, typical. No gadgetry has been involved for that at all. But you know, I've been all over Puerto Rico on seven visits to Puerto Rico, talking to the civil defense people there. They have absolutely no doubt that this is a reality. And the most interesting person that I interviewed was a policeman who had actually fired at a chupacabras at close range when Achupa was on the point of killing the police officer's dog. And he fired at it with a Magnum with a split-end bullet from about 8 feet. Now, you can imagine the effect that would normally
have.
Well, the creature was affected physically by it. It recoiled and bounced off his car. This was in the garage. And then ran off at phenomenal speed, leaving traces of blood. But it was not killed with that bullet. And the dog eventually was such a nervous wreck that it had to be put down. But that man was almost shaking, and literally the hairs on his arm stood up while we were interviewing him.
Holy mackerel.
In Puerto Rico. So some of that is done without access to any technology, unless one sort of tries to regard the chupacabras as some kind of biological robot. I mean, that is a possibility. I keep a very open mind.
Sure.
On the other hand, I investigated the case in 1997 together with Jorge Martin, the leading researcher in Puerto Rico. He introduced me to a security guard who, in the small hours of the morning, had seen a large UFO hovering over a field of cows grazing.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly a beam of light came down from the craft, and the cow was picked up in the beam of light. She was struggling and then became absolutely immobile and was beamed up into the craft. And at that point, a federal van came along, and with federal agents on board, they told the witness to stay exactly where he was, or no harm coming, just stay where he was, and you can leave in 10 or 15 minutes. And he said, "What the hell's going on?" And these guys said, "Just allow us what has to be done."
Wow.
And eventually the UFO disappeared together with the cow. So did the van. And the guy eventually followed off in the direction of the road in which this craft had been heading. And he came upon the cow, which had evidently been flung out of the craft from a great height because all its bones were broken.
Right.
And of course, it was killed, and there were mutilation marks along its side. So that, I think, does involve actual craft and aliens, if you like.
Let me end it with the last one, which is your thoughts on Bob Lazar.
Well, as you know, apart from there was many television programs, and you probably remember the first... I think it was on KLAS TV, Las Vegas, when he appeared.
Right.
With his face blacked out, and but with his real voice. And that got my attention straight away. And I was very impressed. And later I interviewed him. I had quite a few meetings with him. There's no doubt that he has not been truthful about his background. That's number one, okay? Because, I mean, I still have his card that says he's a nuclear physicist. He's not a nuclear physicist. He's a brilliant engineer who has a very good knowledge of physics. Though Stan Friedman says that he asked a lot of very basic questions, which Lazar was unable to answer or answered inaccurately. That is quite possible.
Hmm.
But... And of course, as he always said, you know, I'm an easy guy to discredit, you know. I mean, he owned a brothel with one of his wives. I believe he was a bigamist. There's a whole stuff. But, I mean, he was very upfront about that. He was very honest about that, and that's what
right.
I liked about him. And he's a brilliant engineer. I mean, he's built rockets, and he's got a jet. You know, jet engines aren't all that easy to maintain, a jet engine which is on a race car thing. What I think is that he was set up. Knowing of his great talent in engineering, they might have brought him into the program for a while. Also knowing that he was most likely to talk about it, they would use it as a sort of just an example to see how the public would react to that kind of information. I think that is quite possible. And of course, as on his own admission, he was drugged during his visits to the area where he was in Nevada, if you remember that.
Sure.
Papoose Dry Lake. So I think there's something to it. I cannot dismiss all of it by any means. So I keep an open mind.
Right.
as we all should, until all the pieces of the puzzle fit.
Absolutely.
A couple of quick random questions here, and then we're going to go to a small break before we get into some of the real deep stuff. I've heard that as far back as the 1930s that the powers that be were experimenting with lighter-than-air craft. What has your research turned up? Because from what I understand, even Mussolini in the 30s was doing something with it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now when you say lighter-than-air craft, those are like helium balloons and things. Do you mean sort of like gravity propulsion?
Correct.
Now, that I don't know, but what we do know is that as early as 1933, there was a top-secret unit set up under Mussolini, who was very interested in UFOs, because things were being seen, and it started when an unknown vehicle crashed on Italian soil.
Really?
Absolutely, in 1933, and in Need to Know, I've reproduced part of an actual document which confirms this. It was classified highly confidential, June 1933, and it states, on the personal order of Il Duce, that's Mussolini, absolutely
sure.
No mention is to be made of the alleged landing of an unknown aircraft on national soil. Maximum penalty for non-compliance will be enforced by the Tribunal for Strait Security. So that was 1933, and there were a lot of sightings. Actually, in Australia, in the United States, in Great Britain, in Sweden. Sweden set up a research unit. I've no doubt the Brits did as well. Not sure about the Americans in the 1930s. I doubt it somehow in the early 1930s. But, you know, the first government top-secret investigations were going on. And by 1936, there was a whole team of this research unit called Special Research Unit Number 33, RS-33, and this was headed by Marconi, the famous engineer.
Right.
And he actually didn't attend all that many meetings, but Mussolini, of course, took a very strong interest in it because he himself was a pilot, and he was concerned because Royal Italian Air Force, as it was then, were reporting increasingly encounters with UFOs. So it started way back then. You know, you hear all this stuff about it started with 1947 with Kenneth Arnold, and I must have several hundred pilot cases nearly in Need to Know, military and civilian, going back to the 1930s right up to 2006.
Incredible.
Including some very disturbing cases. And the fact is, you know, it's quite obvious now. I've learned certain things that there is a conflict situation with some of these species, and perhaps we can talk about that later on.
Okay. I want to do that after we do our break. I have one more quick question before we go to break, and that is this. Almost everybody, whether they are a believer or a skeptic, has heard of the famous Roswell incident. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand, there was something else that happened and has been kept secret that happened several years before that, and I believe may have happened in the U.S. in Detroit. Is that correct?
Yes, well, I have several such instances in the States before the famous July 1947 one, and the first one I'm aware of. Well, there was certainly one. There were some in 1941. I think that was, I think that was in Missouri. That's quite a well-known case.
Right.
Of a recovered craft. There was one I think 1944 in Hawaii at a naval base, which apparently led to United States Naval Intelligence having a sort of handle on the stuff from, you know, quite the early days.
Hmm.
But in 1945, this is an interesting story because it's you know, I got this from the person who gave me the information in July 1945, a Frenchman became the first to try and shoot down a UFO, as far as we know. A Frenchman serving on detachment with the Free French Air Force with the United States Army Air Forces.
Really?
At Selfridge Field near Detroit.
Hmm.
And in July 1945, there were lots of these, what the military thought were these Fugo balloons.
Right.
Over the base, but they were behaving in a peculiar manner, darting around, and the commander of the base asked for a volunteer. And this guy, Jean Kisling, who's a friend of mine, Free French Air Force, he was training P-47 Thunderbolt pilots at the time, volunteered, and he said he went up, he flew that plane beyond its normal service ceiling, its normal height, and eventually he managed to get one of these so-called balloons in his sights, and he let rip with 8 machine guns, 4 in each wing, on this plane.
Oh, my.
At that instant, this object, which had been looking, it looked like a sphere at first, it suddenly turned on edge, and then it shot off at right angles at a phenomenal speed, and as he delightfully put it to me, you know, Jim, at this point I realized this was no balloon. And he told me that later, in 1945, probably in August, a plane, he thinks it was one of the new jet fighters, was actually knocked out of the sky by a UFO, and that took place in Colorado.
Wow. Incredible. Incredible. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk with Timothy a little more about aliens and also underground bases, and we'll do that right after this brief word. Hey everybody, this is Johnny Anonymous, and my co-host Dave Rabbit and I, we host a show called The ATS Mix on AboveTopSecret.com. You know, after Dave and I get through with doing one of our shows, we like going and listening to one of our sister shows on the Above Network LLC. We like going over and listening to the brand new hilarious BTS Mix with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock. You know, when you're looking for a lighter entertainment, these are the guys that are going to rock your world with the best of sports, news, television, radio, general discussion, and that's just to name a few. They feature member posts, member on-air conversations, and celebrity interviews. This is really going to be a show that you're going to enjoy. And if politics is more your cup of tea, AbovePolitics.com might be just right up your alley. You know those Above Politics show guys, Martin Bain and Justin Case, they give you insightful and informative information that you're just not going to find anywhere else. They feature intelligent conversation with posts from our members, member interviews about the stance and the platforms, as well as interviews with noted political figures and authors. It really is your one-stop political shop. So come join us all. You can deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Johnny Anonymous and my co-host Dave Rabbit. You can deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock. And you can deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. You now can be a part of the revolution. It's Above Network LLC. Well, before we went to break, I mentioned and gave a little teaser here that we were going to be talking about aliens and underground bases and all sorts of other stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, sir, there has been claims, and I'm going to delve into this before we actually get into the underground bases and aliens, but there have been claims that there were 22 British scientists that disappeared mysteriously. And I believe they were working on the Star Wars US SEI program and for British Marconi and other aerospace companies. And supposedly the claim is that they committed suicide. What, in your opinion, happened?
All I know is that I have read the book, which I could go and get. I can't remember the exact title of it, but definitely they were unusual deaths. No question about that. Exactly what they were all working on. Certainly it was in connection with the defense industry. That is for sure.
Right.
Whether it was related to Star Wars type weaponry or not, I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. So I've no idea what happened. It's very, very genuinely bizarre. I'm sorry, I can't help.
But I'm sure you've heard of other cases like that where people have disappeared.
Yes.
Like that. Is the reason for this to keep the project secret? I mean, is that the agenda for a project?
Yes. I think some people, there is, in my opinion, as I pointed out in Need to Know, that the most sensitive secret relates to the fact that a very small, relatively small unit, you could call it the inner of the United States, you could call it the inner government, if you like,
right,
has a long established communication with aliens among the military personnel and scientific intelligence personnel. And this goes back to the 1940s, I believe about 1941, 42, sometime like that. I'm absolutely certain of it.
Hmm.
There's a lot of evidence for that, which I've sort of indicated in Need to Know and in previous books.
Right.
And that, on a number of scientists, quite obviously working on some of these top secret well, above top secret, you know, top secret code word
sure.
projects, which a few of them relate to alien liaison, if you like. Obviously, some of them have had to go missing or just disappear altogether because, you know, they stay engaged in these top secret projects, and it might compromise the situation if, you know, if they went back periodically to their families or whatever.
Sure.
I don't have all the facts, but I know that this has been going on. And in any event, I know that there has been, from my information I received many, many years ago, that a number of our scientists, not just in the United States, but in Great Britain, in other countries, have been involved in an above-top-secret program involving aliens, or what we might term aliens, because as I try and sort of indicate at the end of Need to Know, what we call aliens have actually been here on this planet for longer than we have. That is my opinion. They've been based here. They have bases.
Really?
So they know our planet probably better than we do, a lot better, certainly in terms of scientific information about it.
Sure.
And that's, but there has been definite liaison. So, and I think certainly we've acquired a lot of technology, and if we are to believe Philip Corso and a few others, we've acquired new forms of weaponry as well, and there is a conflict situation going on, and someone I know whose name will be familiar to you, Gary McKinnon, hacked
sure.
into Pentagon top secrets, which he was astonished to find were on Windows, not protected even with proper passwords.
Right.
but one of the things, the most interesting thing I think he discovered is that this list of non-terrestrial officers and names of ships, none of which were United States Navy ships,
right.
Fleet-to-fleet transfers, which sort of kind of implies to me that, you know, this could be dealing with a clandestine space program far beyond anything that we normally get to hear about.
And, right.
I have no doubt that we have developed some very advanced craft, and that we have been helped in this matter by some of these beings.
You briefly mentioned some of these species being here much longer than we have, and probably
yes,
hiding
definitely,
underground.
Definitely, and I think they're responsible for us. You know, they are
right.
our progenitors. We are the hybridized race, if you like.
Well, speaking of underground bases, what can you tell us about some of these underground bases that are around the world? Why do we have them? Who is running them, and for what purpose?
Well, aliens are running them, that's for sure. I mean, this is another thing, you see. People say, oh, reveal the truth, tell everything, bring it all out, you know.
Right.
I mean, who's running the show? Always ask who's running the show. Who's calling the shots? I don't think it's us. Now, I was told quite a while ago, and I published my findings in my last book, which unfortunately was not published in the States, but it is available. I know Borders have it, and sometimes, and it came out in 2000. It's called Unearthly Disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last chapter, I describe what I'd learnt in Washington from a highly placed sources regarding the liaison program. And I was actually given locations, which I published, and I've mentioned some of those in Need to Know. But obviously, because it was in the book that was only came out in 2000, I haven't sort of gone over everything again. But there's enough stuff in the new book. I mean, I was given certain locations, some quite specific, in the United States underground bases, which
right.
are used with the same kind of technology that can keep matter from touching their craft. They are able to apparently vaporize material when necessary and dig very deep into the Earth's interior. And, you know, as to when asked, this was confirmed also to a scientist friend of mine, Rubens Vilela, who is a Brazilian meteorologist, and he has had an article published in Scientific American recently. I mean, he's had been on several exploits to the expeditions to the South Pole, to Antarctica. He has had communications with ETs. This is a very, very sensible man. You know, he did some work with the CIA many, many years ago, and he finally left them disillusioned. But that's another long story. But he learned about the underground bases and how he was incredulous when they told him about the way they were able to bore into the depths of the earth, and right. expressed astonishment. And as they put to him, well, Rubens or whatever they called him, you must surely be aware, as you acknowledge, that our technology might be thousands of years ahead of yours. It's really no problem. So anyway, there are certain areas in New Mexico, for example, West Virginia, Puerto Rico, all that part of the world, which I think is connected with the so-called Bermuda Triangle, because Puerto Rico is at the southern apex of that that triangle. But many other, I was told that there were two large bases in the Pacific Ocean. I wasn't given specifics, but based on information from other people, I think that one of them was in the Marianas Trench, which is the deepest part of the Pacific Ocean.
Hmm.
It goes down 11,000 meters plus, which is, 40,000 feet, something like that, right. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But, some of our people have been there,
right.
I published the story of a South American contactee who I found very convincing. He claims to have been taken to a base in South America, in the Andes, and to the one in the Marianas Trench. Not right at the bottom of the trench, but the base is built into, presumably into the side of part of the trench. And other areas where people have visited, in Brazil, there are overground bases, or there have been, I've no idea about now, but they've got also some in lakes, apparently, and there's one in Australia. I was given sort of approximate locations, like near Pine Gap.
Right.
So obviously there's a lot of disinformation contained in all this, but there are quite a number of these bases, and I should think, I haven't a clue how many, but I think they've been around for a very long time.
Right.
As I say, this has given rise to a lot of the so-called Bermuda Triangle and the other, the Devil's Sea near Japan and the Bass Strait in Australia and the Great Lakes. Interestingly, at one time there were more mysterious disappearances in the Great Lakes area than there were in the Bermuda Triangle, and I've got some extraordinary cases from the Great Lakes in Need to Know, as well as other mysterious disappearances.
I had never heard that before.
And another thing is that, another reason for the cover-up is the amount of missing aircraft and probably thousands of pilots who've either just been taken away
right.
or vaporized. And for the first time, I got hold of some, thanks to Richard Hall, with his communication with, I think, probably the world's greatest UFO researcher at one time, South American. Doctor, whose name eludes me for the moment, Dr. Olavo Fontes, and he acquired from the U.S. Defense Department statistics revealing that out of 18,662 major military aircraft accidents from 1952 to October 1956,
yes,
1,773 were due to unknown factors.
Oh, that's remarkable.
Now, that's just from 52 to 56, and those disappearances have continued. Aircraft occasionally are hassled and harassed, sometimes to a frightening degree. Remind me, if we get a chance later on, the most recent disturbing incident took place at Dublin Airport in 2006, involving several aircraft airliners.
Actually, that is one of the questions that one of our members asked that we'll come to a little later on.
How can governments come out with this stuff?
Exactly.
You tell me. As it was put to me, there's no way we can come out with all this stuff. It's got to be gradual.
Right.
It has to be gradual. Gradual disclosure. There's no way we can sit on all this stuff forever.
Well, actually, that was one of my questions I was going to ask later on, but I'll go, excuse me, since we're already there, I'll go ahead and ask you this. Do you feel that the governments or the powers to be are in a form of an acclimation process, getting us used to the idea?
I do, actually. I think particularly perhaps the British government and French government, who have been releasing tons of material, is now going on. I mean, the French government's released lots of stuff, hundreds of thousands of pages possibly. The British Ministry of Defense is currently declassifying reports from the 1970s. It does start in the 1970s, probably through up to the, I don't know precisely up to the present time. But that process is going to take 3 years before it should declassify. Now, from a reliable source, I understand that no top secret information is going to be revealed, so you're not going to find out really what's going on. You're just going to get some very interesting reports that might be classified secret. I'm told that the most sensitive will be what we over here call secret, UKIs A. Nothing top secret. But the British government has actually released stuff going way back to the 50s, like a top secret document talking about the British Flying Saucer Working Group, which was set up with the aid of the American insiders back in the early 1950s.
Interesting.
So you know, it's getting used to people used to the idea that there are some realities here, and
sure,
you know. Well, if the aliens wanted to prove their existence, they have done so to those who need to know. That's for sure. I think no question about that.
Well, you know, that actually brings up another point and another question I was going to ask later on, which I'll just go ahead and jump to. What is the protocol that the aliens use in their mediation process? I mean, one of the questions I hear all the time as an amateur ufologist is, well, why don't they just land on the White House lawn? And I'm thinking, that isn't going to happen.
Yeah, right. Well, it's not. First off, you know, which aliens are we talking about?
Right.
People say aliens... And then they say this and that. Well, you know, there are many alien species.
How many are there, do you know?
I haven't the faintest idea, but one European government source told me that there are possibly dozens that have been coming and going.
You know,
some are just passing through this neck of the woods.
Sure.
Others, as I say, have been on this planet for longer than we have. So obviously there's a major concern about what we get up to, because it's going to affect them. And there's no coincidence that the sightings multiplied a thousandfold when we started. As soon as we acquired knowledge about nuclear energy, which actually goes back to the 1920s, and, I'm convinced that it actually started a sort of monitoring, a close monitoring of our technology in the 1920s.
Right. There are some that claim that, and I believe it may even been in one of your books, that NASA has in their possession not only alien bones but also an alien skull. How did you come across that information?
Oh, yes, that. First of all, can I just interject?
Sure.
Johnny, at this point, you asked me, you know, why don't they just land...
On the White House lawn, yeah.
It's against the law for aircraft to fly close to the White House for
sure.
Start. They probably get shot down, or at least, you know, they get fired at. But there's no way. That would cause absolute pandemonium. There's a wonderful story of this contactee, Enrique Castillo Rincon, who was taken on a craft, and I mentioned him. I didn't give the name before, but... Enrique Castillo claimed to have been taken to two bases, and he asked at one point, he says, why don't you show yourself more often among the people? And he said, take a trip with us, we'll show you. And they took him first of all to a farm in South America, I forget which country it was, Argentina or somewhere like that, and they said, right. And they were quite low, but not dreadfully low, and they then came out of the cloud that they'd been hiding in, and then they made sure that the people on the ground, and there were a couple of guys milking the cows, and they all looked up, and there was absolute pandemonium. The cows went berserk, and the tail flew over and everything, and they ran in, the guys ran in all directions. So Enrique said to them, yeah, but these guys are peasants, you know, what about sophisticated people in society? And they said, okay, let's find somewhere else. So they went to a highway, and they waited for a highway, not a busy highway, but somewhere. They waited till some suits came along. There were these guy full of businessmen in this car. So they swooped down very low, right over the car. The car went into almost into a spin, came off the highway. All the guys jumped off and ran in different directions. And so the spaceman said to Enrique, does that answer your question?
And who said aliens didn't have a sense of humor?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. So, no, it would be counterproductive. And they, you know, do they all want us to know what they're doing here? Could we live with some of them? If you consider that many of them are possibly millions of years ahead of us, certainly technologically in many respects, and mentally, you know, there's no question that they, many of them, not all, are highly telepathic. I mean, just how comfortable would it be to live in a society with beings who can read your every thought,
sure,
know your every motive? Could we really get on with that? I don't think so.
Interesting. And
we wouldn't want that. We wouldn't want that.
Yeah. What about NASA and the alien bones in the skull?
Right. Very good question. Now, this goes back to 1974 when a team, a European team of scientists, there was a British, Italian, French, and Polish biophysicist, okay?
All right.
And in 1974, NASA gave them, NASA, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory people, gave them some materials to analyze. They said this came from behind the Iron Curtain. Now, think of Philip Corso in this respect, because this,
right,
was this information came to me before Philip Corso's book was published, that they had been given strange materials. There was sort of odd, very extraordinary memory type metal that, you know, that couldn't be dented, it couldn't be scratched. There were fabrics that had fantastic tensile strength. There were very, very other odd, very odd pieces of materials. And they were absolutely mystified by this. The metal had a melting point of above 2,000 degrees Celsius. Okay? And then they all examined these materials. They gave all their responses to NASA. And then in 1977, there was a party for a retiring, and this is all in Need to Know, by the way.
Okay.
For a retiring guy who'd been partly responsible for farming out this alien material to them. They were never told it was alien. As I said, they were told it came from behind Iron Curtain. But they were about to discover more in April 1977 at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, in Pasadena, California. And there was a party to celebrate the retirement of this guy who'd given them the material. And at the end of the evening, he said, "Come on, guys, I want to show you something downstairs." They went down several levels to a top secret vault, which was sealed. And they said, "Let's go in here." And the guy obviously knew how to get in and everything. But they did break the seals, and they got in. And it was it wasn't a huge room, but they were surprised to see the materials. Neatly kept of all the materials that they'd examined before. But more impressive was the fact that there was the remains of a skull and a hip bone. And these were in a sort of transparent case. And there was a label on the case, on this transparent case, which said, "From the first and second incidents in New Mexico."
Wow.
And so these guys, this story all comes from a French, a Polish biophysicist. And he said, "Well, you know, we're in New Mexico." And he said, "I'm sorry, no places, no dates, can't give you that. That's all very, very sensitive. But these are interesting bodies. Have a look at them." Now, bearing in mind, these were biological physicists. And they
sure
were able to quickly see that this wasn't because obviously it was a relatively small skull, two-thirds of a skull and a hip bone, and the first thought was that it's a child or a chimpanzee, but it was absolutely neither, because they were able to closely examine the skeletal tissue and see that it wasn't like any known species on Earth. So that was very, very impressive to them. And also, this Polish biophysicist learned a great deal more. He was told that there had been several recoveries of these craft, and that there were some of the aliens had serious problems breathing our atmosphere and could not survive within it, some of them.
Hmm.
And this presumably, Roswell certainly would have been one of those incidents, I'm sure of that.
Right.
But they were told that that nitrogen was no good for them. So they were worked out that in their spacecraft they must have used a mixture of oxygen and helium. This is what these biophysicists were told.
Hmm.
But I think that's because their blood had just a totally different reaction toward nitrogen.
This concludes part one of our interview with Timothy Good. Be sure to join us next week for part two.
He's mad as hell, and here's why. Who's ready for a rant? ATS Mix presents The Rabbit's Rant. In other words, what the hell is ruffling Dave Rabbit's fur this time?
Relax and enjoy yourself.
This is The Rabbit's Rant.
And we are at the very end of our show, and of course that means, so that we don't have to plaster disclaimers all over the rest of the show, it's time for The Rabbit Rant.
Our rabbits rant.
There you go.
So that would mean like I'd have a bunch of little rabbits behind me, I guess.
all chiming up in chorus. So as we knock on your door there at the
hutch.
Rabbit Hole Mansion, yes. What's got you in a furor today?
Okay, well, just recently in Dallas, John, I don't know if you've seen this on the internet or not, but this lady has her 2 6-year-old children. I think one's 6, one's 8. And she's in Dallas, and her and her dad are in this gas station, and all of a sudden she decides that she wants to go take the kids to an overpass in Dallas in the middle of heavy morning traffic and drop them into the traffic from the overpass, trying to kill both her children. And then she jumps off the overpass to commit suicide. Now, I tell you what really upset me about this is that I see more and more instances of these people, adults, I mean, family members, wanting to kill themselves. But instead of just killing themselves, they want to kill their family members with them. In other words, it's not bad enough that they want to end their life. They want to sit there and kill innocent children, babies. I mean, there was an instance a couple of years ago, I think you'll remember this, John, where there was another Texas woman. I mean, not that they don't commit suicide in other states besides Texas, but there was another Texas woman that had her children, a baby, a 2-year-old, and maybe a 3-year-old in the bathtub, and because Jesus told her to kill them, she drowns her 3 children in a bathtub. And then, of course, she goes, you know, they do the psychiatric test, and now she's in la-la land somewhere. But, my God, John, I'm just so sick of people taking the lives of innocent young kids in the name of, you know, God told me to do this, or in the name of I'm going to die, so I want to take my kids with me. I mean, it just really chaps my ass. It really does.
I am very fervently against anybody committing suicide. I think that is a very gross, negligent sin that you can do, not just to yourself and your family and your friends, but in the eyes of whatever person you worship. But right. If you're going to do that, then why on earth are you dragging your little ones with you? What did they do to cause their being a part of this unfortunate event that you are wanting to commit? That, to me, is what bothers me the most. Not that the suicide itself doesn't bother me. That does. But to include little ones, innocent ones, that have absolutely no knowledge at all as to why mommy is now dragging me under the bathtub water or has drove her car into the lake. See, that makes no sense to me at all. None whatsoever.
And that goes along, and then we're going to end this show. But, I mean, that goes along with another nut here in Dallas. We do need to check.
You guys got to check that water. Yeah.
But this is the kind of same concept, that same mentality that I can't fathom. A father goes and picks up his 2 kids, his 2 teenage daughters.
Yeah.
This is several months ago here in Dallas.
All right.
And he is estranged from his ex-wife, and they're having problems. He goes and picks up his 2 daughters, beautiful young ladies, for his weekly, you know, his weekly weekend or every other weekend visitation that he has.
Right.
And they get back to his house, and he decides that he since he doesn't have custody of his children, that he's going to be sure that she doesn't. He takes out a .45 caliber revolver, and he blows his two daughters away.
Does he then commit suicide?
No. He just wants to be sure that she doesn't have the girls.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, you guys got to get through your water check. There's got to be something wrong with the water.
I'm telling you, the nut meter up in Dallas is sitting at 9.7 right now out of 10. All right, well, that's so much for the Rabbit's Rant. So until next time on the ATS Mix, I would be Dave Rabbit.
And I would be Johnny Anonymous. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week on the ATS Mix.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. Thank you.